Frugal Friends, Episode 5, Bills, Bills, Bills.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
I'm Jen, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jill. How are you, Jill?
I'm doing well, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing so good, so good. We're gonna talk about bills, not just because I like that Destiny's Child song, but it's also an integral part of our lives. So it's one of the most Googled for terms on the internet. So letting that be our guide of what to talk about, we're gonna talk about it. So
I like it.
Okay. Well, once doing a Google search for what people search for on how to save money, then we consult the internet to see what they're going to get when they actually do that search. And we're going to talk about the information that the internet is giving people. And some of it we agree with, and some of it Jill feels strongly about. I love your strong opinions on it. So let's start out with our first one. It's focusing on utility bills. It's from Lauren Grootman, and it is 15 ways to crush your utility bills. And I had a few favorites on this one that I had not heard before. The first one is number 6, to do your chores at night. For cities or counties or whatnot that have dual time, or offer a discount for doing your stuff at off peak times of energy usage, I guess that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You may be able to get cheaper energy or utility costs by running the dishwasher or washing machine or dryer at night. And I had known that if you're doing hot stuff, if I'm running a load of lights and I have dishes in the dishwasher, I'll try and run those together just to save on the hot water costs. But I didn't know that doing them at night might be cheaper. But I can't really see. I feel like half of people would be at home or have somebody at home to do that for them. And then maybe more than half actually do their chores at night or on the weekends. How do you feel about that, Jill?
Yeah, I actually heard about this from the people who we're house sitting for. They are currently in Ireland, and that's something that they practice where they are living in Ireland. She's like, yeah, I'll set my timer for my washing machine not to start until midnight. And that's an incentive program that the city kind of puts in place to utilize energy at different times, not during their peak time. So I think that would only be worth doing if that is how it works in your city. Otherwise, you're just a little crazy.
Yeah, if you've got flat rate utilities, then you don't have to worry. But it's worth looking at your utility bill, I think, to see that. I don't know. We probably have flat rate, honestly, in the city. But yeah. I don't know.
But it's a good idea to look at your bill, because it will also tell you, it'll show peak usage. So you can then also determine what is costing us the most money as far as electricity goes, and figure out ways to reduce for you individually.
Yeah. And then another one that I liked, which I did know, was to keep ceiling fans in all of the rooms. One, because it can help, it helps us delay in turning the AC on in the spring to summer, which is basically March in Florida. And then it also just circulates while the AC is on to use less of it. And then, Jill, have you heard this, that running, flipping your blades and running it the other way can also be helpful. I was just going
to say that. Yeah. Well, you're supposed to. Like, the one way that they go, it pushes air down, and the other way that the blades go sucks air up. So what is it? I don't want to be incorrect. But in the winter, you want to push the hot air that's like coming, you know, hanging out in the ceiling, because we know hot air rises, cold air falls. So you want to push the hot air down. But then in the summertime, you want to suck the hot air up. And the blade, the box that they come in and the user guide will tell you how to do that. But yeah. That's definitely like, something to pay attention to.
I'm currently looking at my fan blades right now and trying to figure out which way that they are, because I've never flipped my fan blades, but I've always heard that you should. And it's also good because then you're forced to clean them.
Yes.
Like at least twice a year. So that should be an added incentive to flip your blades.
Definitely. And I think, though, that there are some that just go in reverse. You don't necessarily always have to flip the blades. It's just having it turn the opposite direction. So I think that might depend on what fan you have.
I'm
watching you look up at your ceiling. It's so funny. Like, what's it doing? Is it sucking air up or pushing air down?
I wish I knew. I just wish that I knew. It feels cooler in here now that I have it on.
Yeah. Wow. You're doing something right, probably.
Yeah. Whether it's in the wrong direction or the correct direction, it is helping. So even if you can't have your fan going in the right direction, at least having it will do something. So if you can't be perfect, just be okay. That's my motto for life. Just be good enough.
At least be good enough. Don't go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I feel like that's frugality's motto. It's my motto, at least.
Yeah.
So, Jill, what did you think of these tips?
Yeah, I liked them. And you see these in a lot. I think the other article that we were looking at, there's some overlap of these tips. So that kind of just solidifies like, oh, these are good things to do. But the air drying clothes thing, I think that's always smart. At least not using the full cycle of the dryer. Like sometimes I'll throw my clothes in for just like 10 to 15 minutes, get like a lot of the moisture out, but then hang it the rest of the time. So
yeah, we talked about this in our clothing episode. Did.
Yeah. So we don't need to go into that too much, but the dryer is one appliance that uses a ton of electricity. So that helps. Mm-hmm. And then I also liked in this article by Lauren, keeping your home sealed up tight. We have noticed such a difference in like all the places that we've lived in making sure like windows and doors that you're not using are sealed up. You just lose, especially if your windows and doors aren't new. Like we live in houses that are just very old, and a lot of times they don't have updated new windows. So they make like this plastic shrink wrap that you can put over top of them. Just anything that you can do to seal up those drafty areas really does make a difference in heating costs.
Yeah. And keeping like the doors closed to the unused rooms, is something that we do as much as possible, just to make sure that like the areas that we're living in are getting the most circulation and, coolness.
Yeah. You know, for those of us who are living in areas that you need to heat.
Is it snowing up there? Because it was snowing this week in places.
No, it is not snowing here, but it is possible that we might get another little bit of snow. We're not sure. It's after Easter, but who knows?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm praying for you. It's really rough. I'll just be over here in my shorts and like sleeveless shirt. That's
okay. I know you look so like warm right now. Like there's heat where you're at.
I wonder if it's my fan going in the wrong direction. As I haven't stopped looking at it. So
that's awesome.
Who knows? I could be making myself warmer. Do you have any thoughts, any more thoughts about this one, Jill?
I don't. No.
Okay. Because I really want to hear your thoughts about our next article, which is 40 ways to save money on monthly expenses. This is like one of the first ones that comes up when you're just trying to find to save money on bills. And so it's...
Oh, there's a couple.
And I want to preface this with saying that this was last updated on December 12th, 2017.
I just can't. Like, the relevance of this, I'm just not sure. I don't want to throw out the whole article, but it is worth just identifying some of these things that, I'm not saying they are full-on myths, they're just not worth paying attention to. So, yeah. What is it? Number...
13.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was within there, but then I couldn't find it. Okay, number 13. Unplug all unused electrical devices because...
This was on the last one, too, and we glossed over it. Oh,
man, they love this one. It's like the filler. That's all it is. This is a filler.
Yeah.
Because most electronic devices constantly draw a small amount of electricity. It's called a phantom charge that can quickly add up. I just don't think that this is worth paying attention to. Oprah, I think, said this one time. Like, she had it on one of her shows. Like, oh, if you have your lamp still plugged in, it's going to draw electricity. And it's just like, it's just hardly true. It's just so barely true. And so I get to draw on the wisdom that my husband brings to the table too. Having been an electrician for like 7+ years, this just isn't true. Like, it's not worth going around your house, unplugging your clocks and your microwave and your washing machine and all of your lamps. Like just because you might spend a penny a year, like, keeping them plugged into the wall. Like, this is one of those things that, like, turns you into a crazy old person. Like, those habits that old people have, and you're just like, why do they do this? Like, this is why. Because they listened to Oprah, and then everybody else just perpetuated, like, this one thing that Oprah said on her show one time, just to make their articles have, like, some filler points to them. This just isn't not worth it. Like, not worth resetting your clock every day just because you're accumulating a phantom charge. So just don't even take up mind space with it.
But if you're that concerned with your electronics, like, maybe you don't need a clock anymore because you can just keep your cell phone. Or maybe you won't keep yourself up.
If you are the type of person who could go around and unplug everything and only plug it in when you need it, yeah, maybe just live in the dark then. I don't know.
That's probably best for you.
I am a frugal person, but I just cannot imagine. I just cannot imagine.
Ditto.
No.
Ditto.
So there you have it on number 13. Jen, what did you like about this article? We can have like a give and a take here.
Okay. I'll be the good cop and you can be the realist cop. Yeah. So while 13, I agree, is just bogus, and it's still literally every article. I haven't even read every article about utilities, but it's going to be in every single one of them. I'm so sure because I bet you the people that are writing this are not unplugging their lamps.
No, they're not doing half these things.
They're not.
They're just answering people's questions.
No, they're not. And if you're going to give people the best advice, like, don't give people advice that you wouldn't do yourself. Like, don't give people 100 things if you're only going to do 10. Just say, I do these 10. And, like, don't try and show up other frugal people.
But I mean, how much better is it to come on the internet and be like, I got 40 tips for you. One of them is bogus, but I got 40 tips.
And I couldn't stop at 39. I had to get to 40. So,
Oprah for the win.
Oprah. But the Simple Dollar has so much valuable content. We'll give him this one. So since I have to be good cop right now, the next one, number 14, which is utilize power strips and timers, is actually a really good idea. And it keeps you from having to unplug everything. So it protects your electronics from like surges, if you're getting surge protectors. If you're on timers, you can like turn off like the power strip. And so if this is something that you're concerned about, then investing a little money in power strips or timers, like smart power strips, this could solve that problem. And then you wouldn't have to go around unplugging everything. It's going to be like pretty negligible, the amount you save, but like it'll probably pay for your power strips.
Yeah.
And they're just a smart thing to have anyway.
Yeah. You know? I'll give another tip to also balance this thing with some positives. It talks about the type of light bulbs that you use as far as LEDs mm-hmm. go. And I would 100% second that. We switched out all of our lights and you're paying a little bit more for the light bulb, although the price of LEDs has dropped significantly. So you're really not springing much more than you would for a regular kind of light bulb. But they reduce the cost of lighting significantly. Like you can leave your lights on and really not have to worry much about it. And I know that we talk with a lot of people because, like I said, Eric's an electrician. That's like one of his skills. And then we have a contracting business, so we do lighting in people's homes. And the complaint that we often get is like, yeah, but I don't want to do LEDs. Like it gives such that weird lighting. I don't like that lighting that it gives off. And so it's been this like education process to be like LED lighting has come so far in such a short amount of time that the type of lighting they're talking about, like, yeah, those bulbs do exist, but they also do have like that nice, like, soft lighting LED bulb. So my plug would just be give it another chance because what you're thinking about LEDs may have shifted in the past couple of years. So,
and they last longer too.
Oh
right?
My gosh. They're supposed to last a lifetime, but like you're never supposed to have to, we haven't yet had to replace. I mean, we've been doing LEDs for over 5 years now. I don't think we've ever had to replace one. Yeah.
Nice.
And then solar lighting, like for outdoors, that has also come a long way and can save a lot of money. It's a nice feature to have like outdoor lighting and solar lighting can be a good alternative there.
Yeah. I'm surprised there's not more solar in Florida, but in St. Pete in particular, there's a lot more than other places in the country. And you wouldn't notice like the difference. It's just like seamless. So, I'll second that. Bill, give me another rant.
You want it? Oh my gosh.
I want it.
I literally, Jen, you can attest to this, like started laughing as I was reading it. Cause we were reading it like, you know, kind of together, like silently, like you do in like friends study groups at the library. And number 32 is literally reduce or eliminate your cell phone bill. And it starts off by saying, ask yourself how much you really use your cell phone. And I was like, what are they even saying? Like, when was this written? Which is why we had to look and be like, okay, it was written in 2017. Like, what?
Or at least updated.
That's true.
And not
okay, thank you.
Changed.
Thank you for that clarification. But like what person under 86 years old is going to look at that and be like, oh yeah, let me consider my lifestyle. Yeah, I really don't use my cell phone that much. Like, no, like we do everything on our cell phones. Literally everyone does everything on their cell phone. Yeah. Like it is my camera, my TV, my internet, the way I call and text people,
GPS.
Oh my
gosh. It saves And I think a smartphone is such a frugal thing to have because it's all those things in one.
I just couldn't believe it's that. So great. Take a look at yourself. How much do you really use your cell phone? Like, as if they're expecting the answer to be, oh, yeah, hardly. Why do I pay for this thing monthly? I'm really not using it that much. Like, no, like, literally, your normal person under 86 years old is using it, like, all day, every day, even while they sleep. Like, it is my sound machine and my alarm and my clock. Like, it's like, this is the thing. The thing I'm going to spring for. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to be frugal by getting rid of my cell phone. Oh, wow.
But it suggested, like, look for ways. Its first recommendation actually was look for ways to downgrade to a cheaper cell phone plan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the title is for that one is reduce or eliminate your cell phone bill. So they don't talk about eliminating your cell phone bill, but the fact that it is an option is hilarious. But so we've been actually thinking about this. Like, I'm kind of over Apple's like games that they're playing with consumers. Like, I'm a loyal Mac iPhone, like, mm-hmm. Mac computer, iPhone user. But even I, like, I updated the operating system on my laptop, and it basically shut it down. And then I talked to a friend who worked at Apple, and they're like, oh, that's a horrible idea. Your MacBook is 5 years old. You shouldn't be updating it anymore. I can't handle it. And I was like, it's five years old. Like, I could see if it was, like, still one of those, like, white MacBooks that, like,
what are you saying about that?
College,
that's literally how I'm recording this podcast, on one of those white MacBooks you speak so highly of.
I'm being, like, Mac racist, but it's like, I just don't get it. It's still, and then everyone, so I work in a place where they give loaner MacBooks out, and people will, like, try and, like, move my laptop over and like, oh, this is dense. Oh, this is a brick. And I was like, guys, she's just big boned. She's working fine. But then, and then all the games that Apple's been playing with their iPhone, I'm just kind of like out of principle, like over it. So I think once this plan is up, we might like leave iPhones and go for something cheaper, like Republic Wireless is something I've heard that's really good. People are paying like $15 a month for a smartphone, still a smartphone, just not an iPhone, or like Google Fi or any of those options. And it takes like, gosh, it's taken me some soul searching to kind of come to that conclusion. And I think I can also come to that conclusion because I have another year left on this contract. It's probably going to take me another year to be like, okay, I'm really going to do this. Yeah. But it's something, it's so ingrained in me, but it's so expensive. And I know I could be doing, that is a significant thing that I could do to lower my bills and still have all of the amenities of a smartphone. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Jill?
Yeah, and I think shopping around is a good thing to do. And I think frugality means like holding what you have with an open hand. That, all right, what I have now doesn't necessarily mean that this is always and forever the best option for me. Like, life changes, needs change, and to continue to evaluate and assess. And again, I think that that's a rut that sometimes like older people can get into. Sorry, I'm really bashing the elderly today.
I'm listening to my grandmother,
so this might be like, we're really treading through some deep waters right now. But I see it firsthand, and so maybe this isn't like all elderly people. But you can get into this rut of like, well, this is just how I do it. Like, this was the best way to do it when I was 50, and now I'm 86, and it's still the best way to do it. And that's just not necessarily the case. So I like where you're at, and you're evaluating, like, is this still the best price? Do I like what I'm getting for my money and not just like head down, plowing through kind of a thing. I think that that's a key mentality to have in order to be frugal.
Yeah, totally. Jill, you're like frozen on my computer right now. And I want you to see yourself.
It's a black screen on my end. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you fine.
I can see you. Can you see me? Yes, show me. Yes. I think that summarizes it. You should keep that picture and we'll put it in the show notes because that is the passion with which I'm talking. Oh my gosh, I love it.
That's you. Yeah. Well, and then I just, that's all I see because that's the perfect, like, you're just centered in on my computer. Okay, now it went away. I'm glad I took a picture of it. It went away.
Okay, am I back?
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Glad you got that picture. You're quick on that. That was probably because of your Apple phone.
I know. Well, it was there.
You get to your camera so quickly.
Oh, God. It's because I have a phone that's like literally always attached to me.
But you should ask yourself, how often do you really use your cell phone? You could eliminate your cell phone and save some money.
You're right. I could. But then I would have to talk to Travis a lot more and he would hate that. So to save our marriage...
Just get a pager instead.
Oh, my God. Those are going to come back.
I believe it.
100% those are going to come back.
Yeah, just for the novelty of it. Like, I think parts of our generation just like the novelty of old things. So we just want to do it. Like typewriters.
Yeah. Oh, typewriters are back. And then people are just going to be, like, paging each other, like, funny words.
I'm excited.
It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely get one. Okay. So my next favorite on this one, because they weren't all bad, was number 22, to eliminate subscriptions. Not all subscriptions are bad. We have, obviously, our phone is like kind of a subscription. Netflix is a great subscription. Subscriptions to like things that help you like do better with money. Like I know a lot of people are crazy about you need a budget, and that is a fantastic subscription to have. But like, I don't know. Do you like need beauty samples delivered to your door every month? Or like jewelry delivered to your door every month? Like, do you need those things? If you really love them and you enjoy them and you can like do productive things with them, then that's great. But like 90% of people, I don't think can say that they do that.
I agree. So, and I think what we talk about is always going to come back to that. Like that frugality isn't just cutting out everything that's like beautiful and life-giving to you, but it's figuring out what do I want to save on so that I can spend on what matters to me? Rather than just like, oh, well, it's only $5, so do that. Oh, it's only $19.99 a month, so just do that. Oh, it's just da-da-da-da. And then you end up with no money. So I think it's just evaluating, what am I subscribed to? What value does it add to my life? Am I willing to keep paying for this? And make your decision.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you don't need more samples to put in your junk drawer. Like, and if you're trying to reduce your bills, then that is a super easy way to do it.
I mean, I'm curious to hear from you some of your tips, and maybe we'll get into this on like top three saving tips, but I think that you are very good at researching, finding the loopholes and all this and that on like saving on, you know, TV and phone and all these different things. So I'm just... I think your brain is a good one to pick on this topic.
Yeah. Researching is mostly all that I'm good at. But I can come up with some good things out of it. So, and we had talked briefly about, like, what we thought the most impactful things were. And I think what we came down to is that it is not how many things you're doing to save money, it's what you're doing. And to do a few things that are really impactful is far less overwhelming and far more attainable than trying to do 40 things or even 15 things. Like, these lists are really good clickbait, but you don't need to do a ton of things to save money on your bills, on your monthly bills. That's, I think, that what we came down to. But the things that we are doing to save money, the first one is shopping around. So personally, we will call our internet phone providers, auto insurance, and every season, like, we'll ask what deals they have, how they can, like, how we can get a lower rate, et cetera, et cetera. And we have, like, I can't think of one time that we have done that, that they have not lowered our bill. Sometimes we call in response to them saying that they're going to increase our bill. And in which case we'll go to them, and if they can't give us what we want, we'll call somebody else and see if we can get it from them. And there has not been one time in the last 2 years that we've been doing this that they have not given us, we have not been able to get a better rate.
Yep. That's my experience as well, so, just to vouch for that.
The second one is to reduce use. I think turning lights off when you're not in the room, taking shorter showers and making sure the water's off, just being conscious of your use is more effective than, you know, unplugging your lamps, essentially. Just do, you know, least effort, most impact. Yeah.
And I think this goes along with monitoring how much you use and finding ways to only pay for that. So I think it did touch on this in both the articles about cell phone bills. Like, if you're realizing you don't need an unlimited plan and it is cheaper to just, you know, pay for your usage, then yeah, do that. You know, if you're paying for both Netflix and Hulu, well, how much are you actually using Hulu? Can you still be satisfied with just one of those providers? Or if you're paying for all cable, but you realize you're only watching 2 to 3 channels on cable, can you just pay for those channels? A lot of different places will offer those packages for, you know, a few channels rather than the whole thing. So I think it's just being mindful of your use and finding ways to only pay for what you need.
Yeah, I think for cable stuff like that, I think Sling TV is a good option. I'm pretty sure that's the name. They have a really good pick and choose option. So yeah, and then the last one to reduce your monthly bills is to pay off your debt. I think that you can save a penny here and there by doing these tips. But if you are making extra payments on your high interest credit cards or your student loans, then you are significantly impacting your future payments on that. And so it's a little counterintuitive, like, if you want to reduce your expenses, just pay more on debt, but you are saving a significant amount more. You know, if you have like a, you know, 18% credit card or a 6.5% student loan, like I did, it's very rare that you can get 6.5% savings on any of these things, you know, just in 1 month's time. Like, but you can easily make an extra payment or pay that off faster, and you are, like, saving that money. And, like, 18% off, just, I mean, don't even talk about it. Like, just pay off your credit cards. So those are kind of the top ways to save money on your monthly expenses to us. Those are the biggest bang for your buck, so to speak. Well, this is the point in the show that we can take our bill of the week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, my name is Allie Grummert of AskAllie.com, a personal finance blog. I am in Lincoln, Nebraska, and my favorite bill is my student loan bill. As much as I loved having that loom over me for the last 6+ years, I am now debt-free, and it is no longer a responsibility on my plate. And I paid it off just a couple months ago, and now I'm enjoying the freedom of not having that bill. So my favorite bill is the one that I no longer have, my student loan bill.
That's awesome. Thanks so much. If you want to leave us a Frugal Google voicemail, you can visit our website, frugalfriendspodcast.com, and call us up. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us your favorite bill, whether it's a person, a bill that you get in the mail, a dollar bill. We want to know what's going on in your life right now and how bills are a part of it. Okay, so speaking of fails, let's talk about frugal fails. I asked Jill, I was like, did you have any frugal fails about like saving money on bills? And she was like, no. I was like, oh, okay, just me. But so we, I think it's twofold. I think we tried to do it the right thing, but we just did it the wrong way. So we got a super cheap phone and internet plan from two different companies. And so I'll start with our phone, because we got on a family plan with our friends and my mom. So there's five of us on this plan. And we got super cheap, you know, rates, which is great. And, but we picked the crappiest cell phone provider, that which shall not be named. And we could have done the same. We could have gotten really great, like, cell phone service, because we have five people paying for a family plan. It's not like we needed to get the cheapest service. We're just, it was not being frugal. It was being cheap. And so now, like, now we have our LTE is shoddy, and like sometimes you can't make a phone call when you need to make a phone call. And it's like, how often are we making phone calls? Not that often. So if I need to talk to somebody on a phone that cannot be communicated via text or Instagram, that's important and I need to make it now. So do it the right way. Get on a family plan with as many people as possible, but just like spring for the better plan. Don't be like blinded by all the yellow in the store when they're saying you can get such cheap cell phone service. So just walk right by.
I just want you to be aware that it's not that I haven't had any failures in my life. Like, I'm not like over here like, no, I've never. What's that word you're using again? Can you spell it failure? Other episodes, I will have plenty to add to the mix. But as far as it concerns utility bills, like.
Because you lived in an RV for months and had just like,
well, and then we house it and sat, and now we're living with my grandmother. Like, we are really killing it as far as bills and utilities go. However, I have really failed in some other aspects which are yet to be discussed.
Yeah. So my internet fail came when we were actually doing something right. We were calling to lower our bill because they were trying. We had a really great deal on really great internet. And of course, they got bought out, the company got bought out, and they were trying to like triple our payment every month. And so we called to get a better rate, and they were going to reduce our speed to like keep us at the same rate. And we were like, no, let's do better. And so we called the other company, and we got like the lesser speed for like half the price we were paying before, which is not bad, but we could have paid the same and got better speed. Like, so we lowered it, but we got less, and now I can barely get internet in my bedroom. And so like we were just being cheap at that moment. And all I'm saying is that do the right things, but like, don't be cheap about it. Be like, just trying to save money, but like, be able to get internet in your bedroom.
But like, that is the tough thing. Like what you're talking about, you know, the difference between being cheap and frugal, when you're on the spot and you're making the decision and like, you know, there's other people in front of you, you don't always know that in the moment. Like, am I making a cheap decision? Mm-hmm. Am I making a frugal decision? Am I making a stupid decision that's neither cheap or frugal? Like, that's tough to know.
Yeah. And which I feel is why a lot of people don't try frugality, because mm-hmm. they're afraid of making those mistakes. But like, I would say, like, don't be afraid to make the mistakes. Like, but you don't have to feel obligated to stay in them either. Like what Jill said earlier is like having an open hand, knowing that this may not always be the best situation. And you just, yeah, you have to make mistakes to learn. And obviously, we didn't know we wouldn't be able to get internet all the way on the other side of the house.
Maybe it's because your fan blades need to be switched.
Like, you think that they might be fanning the vibrations from the router away from the bedroom?
I know exactly how these things work, and that's definitely what's happening.
I'm looking again. I'm getting warm. So yeah. So don't be afraid to make the mistakes, but also kind of like, no, you don't have to compromise your like living, so to speak. Like, yeah. Like we didn't know that this service provider would be as crappy as it was. But like, if you can find four other people to go on a family plan with, like, maybe you don't have to go with the crappy provider. Like, it's just a trade-off.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Deciding what you can afford.
Yeah.
And then going for that rather than like, oh, we could get it even cheaper. And then that's where you are like, oh, now I don't get it in my bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are my frugal fails.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks for going out on a limb, even though I can't sit here and be like, me too.
Yeah.
I apologize for that. But thanks for your vulnerability.
Yeah. Thanks for like not judging me, even though you're perfect.
I'm so perfect. And yet look at me not judging you.
Oh, so sweet. All right. Do you have anything else to say about monthly bills?
No, but what a great episode, just, you know, for bills of the week and bills, bills, bills.
I know.
We're all about bills this week.
We super are. This could have been a really dry episode, but I think the fan combined with your freeze face and how many weird tips there were in these articles.
Yes. Yes. And the fact that I'm perfect.
And the fact that you're like perfect. Made for a perfect episode.
Yes.
So.
Good summary.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. I hope we didn't ramble on too much. But if you are in the market for some more friends and you'd like them to be of the frugal variety, you can follow us, frugalfriendspodcast.com. And we've got links to our social communities. And if you like this podcast and you think that other people should listen to it, we would love if you would leave a good comment, a good review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. That is the biggest way for people to find out about us and to learn to be more frugal with us. So as always, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
Frugal variety, huh, Jen?
Frugal variety.
I loved that. If you want to know people that are of the frugal variety, we're our own breed over here.
For sure. That's not up for debate. We really are.
It's not that it's not attainable, but you can get extreme with it.
Yeah. Oy. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Have
recording.
You ever watched those shows? Oh man, like where they talk about people who have gone like real extreme with like being cheap or like their lifestyle. For whatever reason, I feel like
it
was talking about primarily like being like living inexpensively. And it was this guy who, well, the one episode that I saw was like this guy who would like cut open toothpaste bottles to get all the toothpaste out. And he would like dumpster dive and like just try and like eat from scraps and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, like some of the things he'd like ride a bike everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, some of those things are extreme. But then like some of the things I'm like, I do that. Yes, I cut open my toothpaste bottle. Yes, I definitely do that. And it's just like, oh boy, I might have qualified for that show.
I've never cut open a toothpaste bottle.
Oh, what? No, does, yeah.
Am I unqualified for the show?
No, I just do think that there's like varying degrees of level of intensity. You know, you can kind of just like Mario Kart, you can just like work your way through the levels, and cutting open toothpaste and foundation bottles is like level 37.
Oh, God, I'm not there yet.
You may never be there. There may be too many barriers. Yeah. It's not a hierarchy, Jen. You don't have to get there.